Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome back to the only podcast produced by three two-time winners of the Spirit of the Race Award. You're tuned into the Check Engine podcast. We are hosted on Spotify and streamed worldwide on all your favorite podcasting platforms. My name's Nick. Joining me, as usual, are my two good friends and good co-hosts, Andrew and Tristan. What's happening, fellas? How we doing?
Well, I mean, not to correct you on your intro, though, I would say good friends and award-winning co-hosts, because of the Spirit of the Race. We're not a big deal, but we're a pretty big deal.
My two good friends and multi-award winning co-hosts.
Yeah, that feels good.
Andrew and Tristan. Thank Does that sound better?
Course. Absolutely.
Now that he's corrected the intro, we can move on.
That's exactly it. Man, I'm doing great. I'm doing great. I'm feeling great. I guess to jump a little bit ahead, Tristan and his lovely wife were down here to visit over the 4th of July weekend, and we had a proper blast.
Yes, that was a very good time. Nick, you guys missed out. Next time, you got to come with us.
But not during 4th of July. Definitely. It turns out...
Yeah, don't come on the 4th of July. That's bad.
Do you guys remember way back in the day, in the 90s even, do you remember the footage of the first night of the Gulf War in Beirut?
Yes.
It was that.
That's how Nebraska does 4th of July.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, all those early 90s wars, the Balkans...
Yes,
the Desert Storm,
the AA the war in Iraq the F-117s bombing, that all happened. Yeah, it was absolutely bizarre.
Yeah, I heard this, Andrew, from Tristan's lovely bride, from Jessica, that normally in a 4th of July in a neighborhood, there's like the one guy who you all go to that person's backyard and he lights off the big commercial grade fireworks. But in your neighborhood, it wasn't the one guy. It was like every other house or every third house.
Oh my God. Yeah. It was like every other house. So again, what I'm used to is exactly what you described. One guy, maybe two guys, depending on the neighborhood. And, everyone else just gets like firecrackers and sparklers and stuff like that. They were using like military grade armaments or something. I'd never seen.
So there 20 were 20 millimeter of grenades, tents. Mortars.
Yeah, there were a ton of fireworks tents all around the city. And I've never seen that many. And I guess I didn't directly correlate that in my mind with the possibility of a war zone, but it was madness. It was absolute madness. And somehow my God tier child slept through all of it, which is especially impressive because no one here seems to have sense. So they were shooting in their driveways, which, okay, sure, fine, at the houses across the street. So they were just getting missile attacked.
My car was riddled. I believe it's, is the right term.
Yes, absolutely. It's so normalized here that when I showed up at work, the next day, everyone was like, "Oh yeah." I was like, "Well, what do you mean? Oh yeah, that was like nothing on earth." And I'm texting my brother during it, and he's like, "Oh yeah, it's the worst here of any place you've been." He's lived all across the country. You can't imagine it. You literally can't even imagine it.
That's insane. I feel bad for the old doggos in the neighborhood.
Well, that's just kind of it, right? Everyone,
I mean, they might
here
get desensitized
dogs.
To it, but like,
maybe
dogs hate them. We rescued a dog on the side of the road that was running away from fireworks.
Oh no! Poor little guy.
It was a big guy, actually.
Well,
but yeah,
little emotionally. So Tristan was. Tristan was there for night one. You guys left on the 4th, I think it was. So there was yet another
night
to come.
The morning of the 4th. We got out of the war zone before the second wave hit.
The embassy escorted Tristan and Jessica out.
Helicoptered off the roof.
in the wake of the devastation. So the second night was more of the same, except for the fact that so we had a normal day, just knowing that it was going to be another horrible night. And it's about 5 o'clock, 5:15. I'm thinking, all right, here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to run out to the grocery store real quick, get a couple of things that we need, come back, and then we'll just go down in the basement, hang out, whatever, and just let it be however bad it's going to be. So I step outside and notice a giant storm front coming because there's, you know, no height elevation here. So you just step outside and see to the Rockies.
You can see the storms in Colorado from there.
Oh my God, that looks bad. And it's, you know, that the light kind of turns gray when a proper storm is coming in. So I'm like, you know what? It's not far. I'll make it. Drive down to the store. On the way back, I'm driving home. And they allow parking on both sides of the neighborhood streets here. So it's basically like a tunnel of cars, with the singular exception that in the middle of this tunnel of cars are endless amounts of people lighting Roman candles in the fucking street. So it's like the most dangerous rally course of all time. And they all look at me like they're not in the road. It's like, no, I will not wait. Move your shit. So get home. The second I get in the garage, it starts raining. It then starts pouring, like lashing rain. Took down a bunch of tree branches in our area and soaked everyone's 4th of July celebrations, which was great until the moment the storm passed, and then all hell broke loose for hours.
Well, yeah, you got to make up for lost time.
Evidently. Anyways, it was we will never be in this city again for the 4th of July. We are out from the 1st to the 7th. We're gone. I just won't tolerate it.
You just hope you come back to a standing house.
Well, yeah, exactly. And my dad goes, well, you know, they celebrate the 4th everywhere in this country. Where are you going to go? Australia. I'm like, Dad, you were in the same area I was for your entire life also. You know, it's nothing. We could go anywhere else except, oh, actually, what we're going to do, we found a map that indicates the states where firework accidents spike precipitously over the 4th of July weekend. And it's like 7 states, most of them around here. So we're just not going to go there.
No,
we'll just go anywhere else and it'll be fine.
Yeah, that's your where not to go map.
Yeah, that's our plan anyway.
Well, I'm glad you survived. Good to have you here. I want to hear all about not just the 4th of July portion, but the entire visit. I understand you guys went to that National Museum of Speed. I want to hear about that. But before we dive into that, do you want to, Andrew, kind of introduce everybody to what the main theme or topic for this week's episode is?
Sure, absolutely. So I got this idea. What was confirmed to me as we were driving out of our neighborhood, the four of us, when Tristan and Jessica were here, and happened to see, two Blazers come out of one garage, right, Tristan, at the same, or not Blazers, the other one.
Yeah, it was Blazers.
It was Blazers.
Yeah.
Come out of the same garage. It's like, well, okay, matched pair. Down the road, there's another house that has two Konas in the driveway. Obviously, you've seen houses in several locations that have two Accords or two Camrys, or there's another house down the road that's two Chevy Silverados. So I'm like, all right, what if we build a garage, but what we'll do is pick cars for others with the expectation that we will also get one. So it's twin cars, right? You're picking a car for yourself, you're picking a car for someone else, and then you'll have a garage of matched pairs with different people. So we'll pick for each other, we'll pick for our wives, we'll pick for a family member. Then at the end, we'll have a number of cars. It's either 5 or 6. I don't really do math. that are mostly our picks, but also surprises.
Yes. So you should, by my math, we should have 2 surprise cars in the garage. We should leave 2 stalls open because we know 4 of them.
Yes.
One for a wife.
One for
another family member. One for each host, each co-host, award-winning co-hosts.
Damn right.
So that's 4. But then it's the 2 that the other hosts pick for
the
you as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So just a different take on the garage, episode.
Yet another way to build the garage.
Mm-hmm.
Before we get into that, Tristan, why don't you your take on the trip to Nebraska and back? Not as the Tullys are obviously fantastic hosts, but just
yes. I'm not going to comment on the hospitality or the visit, as Andrew said. Generally, rip snorting good time. If you're driving through that area of Nebraska, please stop at two places. Get your Bunza to a Runza, and then also go to Amigos.
Amigos is pretty good.
Yeah. If they were a little heavy on the cheese, and I say that from a Wisconsin standpoint, but we're not a cheese on tacos podcast. So,
cheese amount podcast.
Yeah. So
Amigos
is
an Asian place, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, it's actually a burger joint. Mm-hmm. It also sells coffee.
And donuts.
I'm actually not joking, Nick.
That's the funnier part. It is a holy trinity of restaurants. This is not a word of a lie. It is a Mexican restaurant. It is a burger restaurant. It is a
coffee and donuts
breakfast
place.
Ice cream, and they have smoothies. So you could do the whole high calorie. You could probably do like 20,000 calories just in different meals there.
Yeah.
Sounds amazing.
Like I said, stop there.
Yep.
And stop at Arunza. But yeah, the trip was actually far more pleasant than we had actually ever hoped it would be. I have cousins in Iowa, and the part of Iowa that we drove through to get to them was nothing like I remember Iowa being near their house. far more interesting. A lot of up and down river valleys. Like, we had to actually Google why Iowa fields are the way they are. They actually cut like terraced fields because it's so steep in some parts of the state.
Really?
So I was like, huh, didn't know that. I thought Iowa was all corn and pig farms because that's all I'd ever seen when I visited my cousins. So Iowa, : way nicer than you'd think.
but it's still corn.
It's still a lot of corn. Des Moines, very nice. Stayed at the Hotel Fort Des Moines. Surprisingly swanky. Awesome, awesome wine bar if that kind of thing is for you. And then finished our trip to Nebraska. Nebraska does flatten out quite a bit, as we mentioned about being able to see Colorado. But it's not bad. It's not Kansas pancake flat. It's slightly rolling flat. It looks like a desktop background. So very pleasing to the eyeballs. And the one Tristan weird road trip thing is we have never seen so many burned out vehicles on a single road trip.
Jessica,
well, because part of it was on the way back. On the way there, it was just like, oh, that's kind of weird, but it's not a record. And on the way back, there were like three more. So, like I said, Jessica commented and turned, actually, she's the one who turned to me and was like, have we seen a lot of burned out cars on this trip? And I'm like, I feel like it's too many. And that's from me, who almost every road trip I see like one.
I mean, yeah, one, of course.
And they were there was one on the side of the road actively in flames, a couple that had clearly been put out, one that was like on a flatbed tow truck being taken somewhere, like just so many burned out cars, and not just in Nebraska. So this is not a Nebraska thing.
I was going to say it's all remnants of the fireworks.
Right.
Listen, it could be.
But yeah, so other than that, really decent, pleasant trip. And we will hopefully be making again in not all that long. So,
Yeah.
And at least one car thing that you guys did, you got to tell me and the audience about the National Museum of Speed.
Sorry.
Yes.
Excuse you, sir. The Museum of American Speed. How dare you?
American Speed.
Oh,
I did not know this when we went. But the USA Today rated this a 10 best, or in fact, the number one best attraction for car lovers. I did not know they had that list, and I will immediately be checking out the rest.
Yeah, we need to go hit the rest of those. But yeah. I saw that on the door.
I didn't even notice. I was too astounded by the giant Indy car just right on the wall.
Yes. And the sheer size of this place, that's the thing that strikes me the most, is this is, three floors of exhibits, which is astonishing for, like, any car museum. And the cars were not just on the first floor. They got some of them upstairs, which I don't understand. Like, just incredible.
There's a ton of space, and there's so much stuff to see. I think, honestly, that a good chunk of this museum was wasted on Tristan and myself simply because I don't know the number. It's several hundred engines of all different kinds, configurations.
This would uses. Your dad would lose his mind, Nick.
Yeah,
like he's technical enough to be like, oh, that's a one of those, like, you know, and I'm like, yeah, it certainly is a big piece of cast iron. I can't speak to a lot else.
I got the website pulled up here, it looks like, oh look,
I like the carbon fiber on that modern Toyota motor.
yeah
I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
The TRD motor looks cool. I know what that is. But like basically every cylinder count, every conformation, so V, inline, straight, slant, you know, there was one of everything. A lot of the race cars were primarily Indy cars, sprint cars, and then various straight line speed cars. They had
sprint cars,
dragsters, and Bonneville salt flat racers, and that kind of stuff.
I'm looking. They got a whole thing on
all kinds of records. Like, yeah.
Wow. Drag racing, a ton of dragster cars. Looks like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 Indy cars. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, you would
at least a dozen sprint cars. Holy crap.
Oh yeah. No, they had, there was like just a section of them, and they're on the wall and they're in centerpieces. Both the, forgive me if I get the numbers wrong here, both the 5 millionth and 10 millionth Model T.
Correct.
What?
And what's crazy is that not even all that recently, just late May, so it's been a month or so, but on top of everything that they already have, they announced a merger with the Unser Racing Museum.
Okay.
So that's like Al Jr. and Bobby. They've all passed away now, and their wives don't want to maintain the museum anymore. So they're turning
Al Jr. is still alive. I don't know if you said okay. Al Jr. Is still alive.
But at least Al and Bobby have passed, and
yes,
their wives were the ones running the museum, and they didn't want the job of keeping it up anymore. So they're giving the entire collection to this place, because of how well they've done with, you know, the exhibits that they have. And they're adding like a whole new wing, you know, thousands more square feet. It is quite the place.
It looks like it's going to be two stories dedicated for that wing, honestly. There was at least that, or there's something huge that they're building a giant gallery box for.
Yes. Yeah. There's, you know, clearly like an eight, like a look down atrium that they're putting in. It was great. They got all the cars. They've got the motors. They have a simply astonishing number of pedal car, like aluminum, tin, steel, child's pedal cars.
Basic ones. One was a Cadillac and had gears you could shift.
Yeah.
A
multi-gear pedal car. And then like an actually weirdly physically small, but strangely extensive collection of car music that Andrew and I spent a lot of time in.
Yeah, we're going to have to... I took a bunch of pictures of not even all of the walls, but I'm going to try to see how much of this we can find. What else was on there? I mean...
It's weird
they
that
have
it's...
their own art gallery.
Yep.
In the middle of that. A bunch of racing memorabilia. There's a really cool interactive Lego slot car display. Not slot car. Like Soapbox Derby, right?
Like Soapbox or Pinewood Derby, but with Legos.
Yeah, Pinewood, thank you, yeah.
Yeah,
That was really cool. I mean, I was absolutely... To be completely honest and transparent, I thought this was going to be whack. I thought it was going to be so stupid. But this thing is huge and super detailed, professionally done info pieces on everything.
Yeah. There's nothing, with the exception of the occasional, like, self-explanatory sign. Like, that's a Shell Oil sign. Like, obviously, that's what that is. Like, that doesn't need a sign. But, like, the... every car, every, you know, fire suit, every motor, everything's got a plaque. Like, you could spend a week there reading everything if you wanted to.
Well, which is why it's weird that it's only open for 4.5 hours a day.
Right. Well, that's the thing. And what everything Trisha said doesn't include the fact they also have a library.
that yeah, we didn't like, even a, like a research see. Library.
Yeah, there's a library, and we didn't even see it. It's somewhere on the grounds in this massive warehouse building, and we didn't see it.
And it's on the grounds of a functioning, like, speed shop for sprint car, NASCAR. Like, this whole museum is owned by Speedway Motors. That is a, like, functioning, active speed shop selling parts to people.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now. Actually, I'm as you're talking, I'm going down the rabbit hole of links. And here is, yeah, Speedway Motors shop aftermarket performance car parts, race products, drag racing, demolition derby, or oval track. I wonder what kind of parts they have for demo derbies.
Probably yeah, mostly cages.
I'm sure.
Limited. Oh, there's compact. There's limited weld, modified, stock, or truck. Let's do limited weld. What does that mean? Less safe.
Less safe. Yeah. What else was there? There's a bunch of custom or one-off or coach-built cars that are, I mean, everything from wild. The ridiculous to the beautiful to,
truly bizarre.
There was so much great stuff. The Extremeliner, some guy customized a Studebaker wagon, and it is the sickest real drivable Hot Wheels I've ever seen in my life. It's
gorgeous. Look like it looks like it belongs in a blister pack.
True. Oh man, is that beautiful.
That's
also
awesome.
They have a huge collection, and this is kind of a weird thing for me to notice, a huge collection of historic school zone signs, which are bizarrely interesting because of almost all of them
are sponsored by, you will get never guess.
Yeah, you'll never guess what the school signs are sponsored by. They're commercial signs, and they're sponsored by bread.
By bread?
Bread or bread. Soda.
Sometimes milk.
Oh, yeah, there's one of those milk, yeah.
Child things. Bread and milk.
Of school stop and go signs. It's the most unexpected thing I've ever visited. Except for maybe the phone museum. I once went to a phone museum, and that was ill. It was so awesome. This was also great.
And now that we've discussed it, now we will have media to post. We'll be able to show you guys some of this stuff. So
we have tons and tons of pictures, and it doesn't do, none of them do a bit of this place justice because...
No.
Well, this may be a weird thing to say, right? But I don't know if there's a group or a person or someone out there that designs museums, but this place was designed expertly, which is so rare in a museum kind of like this, right? But plinths are readable. There's high visibility. The theming is extremely clear. If there's a explanation or a video, it's actually right next to the thing that you're looking at. If there is a video, it's not super loud or distracting.
And the map is excellent.
And the map is also accurate and excellent. So that very rare. Very rare. They've done such a good job here.
That's really cool. Who knew?
Yeah, exactly. Who knew? I really cannot recommend it enough. Oh, and we forgot. There's a whole lunchbox wall, too, and a collection of toy taxi cabs and hood ornaments, and I can't name it all even looking at the website.
Like slot cars,
yes, that's right. Bikes, and just a whole half a floor dedicated to headers, just the headers.
Yeah.
They're all on a wall and they're all mounted, and it's beautiful.
You're right, my dad would lose his mind.
Yeah, he would love this. Listen. Yeah. So my summary of Nebraska is the one hand's worth of things. If you're going past or staying in Lincoln, the Museum of American Speed, Runza, Amigos, Dinosaur Adventure Golf, and Sweet Corn Ice Cream.
Yeah, we did all the Nebraska stuff.
We did.
Yeah. Sweet Corn Ice Cream.
Yeah, it's a real thing.
Surprisingly good, too.
Yeah, at the dairy store, it's good.
I'm going to have to get down there. That place looks amazing.
Definitely. We will go, and I would imagine you will get far more definitely than I did, because it's almost like it was over my head, essentially, right? Because I'm looking at this almost certainly deeply impressive piece of engineering, named after, you know, the guy who made it, and a story about this specific engine was run at this race and in IndyCar or in Champ Car, and the actual car is there, and the guy, and I'm just like, oh, that's a nice car. I don't know what I'm doing.
It's me and every art museum.
That's kind of what it was like to me.
I appreciate that it looks cool, and that's about all I can do. I don't know the rest of the history. So
yeah,
that's was it well staffed? That's a weird question, but
dude, we kept running into just one docent who was there all the time, Jim, my man Jim, who told us about everything and pointed out some displays in the corner, and he was just ready. He had the info, man. But they
he pointed us to the first Simpson fire suit.
He did. And
that he would wear to like demonstrate it. And they'd have, it's like basically, it's like, yeah, he'd wear that suit and they'd set him on fire and then they put him out and he'd go, any questions? Who wants to buy this?
And the suit is burned. You can see where it, you don't understand why it looks like that in the case. And then you see the video next to it of them lighting the man on fire. And it's like, oh, it's toasted.
Yeah, it's like a toasty marshmallow.
It's at like three or a four.
I've seen that. I've seen old footage of that old Bill Simpson trying to hawk his wares.
Listen, there's no clearer demonstration. And man, it's so awesome. Talking about it has got me all stoked again. It's that cool.
Very cool. Shout out to that group, huh? Good job.
They've done great work. They're very dedicated. That much is absolutely crystal clear. They are dedicated to, well, preserving American speed beyond a shadow of a doubt. That is what they're there for, and they are doing it to the best of their abilities.
I really want to go. Also, you know, to see, you know, you and the family, Andrew, but really I just
whatever.
Can I crash at your house when I go to the museum of speed?
1,000%. Yes, please. Absolutely.
Oh. Well, that's awesome. That's a tough thing to transition out of. What do we want to try to get into our twins garage or one other thing to just hit on quick. I feel like it deserves to be talked about.
Ooh, let's go.
That the that same weekend that you were touring the Museum of American Speed, there was American Speed happening in downtown Chicago.
Oh, yeah.
And for the most part, it wasn't a complete shit show, actually. So I guess kudos to NASCAR on that. And Shane Van Ginsbergen is the first person in 60 years to win on debut in the Cup Series.
That's crazy.
It is so cool. For the NASCAR American audience, kind of an unknown guy. If you're into any sort of sports car racing or have paid more than 3 or 4 minutes attention to the V8 supercars down in Australia, like Van Ginsbergen is like Mount Rushmore in that series. Like he is an absolute legend in that part of the world. So like Aussie supercars is where he made his bones. He's also transitioned over and does like GT3 racing and part of like the endurance cruise for 12 hours of Bathurst and like Spa and like some of those big, longer endurance GT3 races. And I think it's really cool that Trackhouse, like Justin Marks's brand, is doing this thing like where they had, you know, Kimi Raikkonen run this car, and they're trying to get other people, just international racing stars, into this third car of theirs. That's just kind of like this, for lack of a better word, show car. You know, you've got their two full-time guys, and then here's this third car that we're just going to do a rotating cast of people whenever the opportunity presents itself, but not NASCAR people, not the people that everyone knows about. We're going to bring in Kimi Raikkonen from F1. We're going to bring in Van Ginsbergen from Australia. And then he goes out and just dominates that race.
Love it. You love to see it.
Dominates it. Granted, it is the the closest thing. Like, if you were to drop him in any NASCAR race to make him feel comfortable, it's the street race in Chicago, because that's what V8 supercars do.
Sure, sure.
But those cars are hard to drive. It's hard to pick any new discipline up that fast. So, like, drop him into Atlanta like they just did last night. Like, is he going to do as well? Hell no. But the fact that he went out there, and I think it was Chase Elliott in the post race, like, they have like the top five that kind of do like the NBA or NFL thing where you're at the podium or whatever. Chase Elliott, most popular driver, 2020 champ of the sport, is up there at the podium, and he's like, I don't know how anybody else feels, but that guy just made us all look really bad.
Yeah, he's not wrong.
He's so not wrong for someone of his caliber to say that. I just think that that whole weekend, or that whole story of Van Ginsbergen deserves mentioning, because that's one of the biggest stories of the year to date, and it probably will go down as one by the end of the racing season. So, congrats to Shane, living legend. Hopefully, this opens up a few more doors and he come up and race on our side of the pond a little more often, because he's definitely worth the ticket.
That's awesome. What a way to start, you know?
Is the pressure on or off now for him? It's like, does he know it's all downhill from here? Like, I'm never going to keep this up.
Proven himself.
Exactly. So if you can keep up even a moderate pace, right? Someone's going to be looking for you before the start of next season. If you can just maintain at that point.
Well, they asked him in his victory interview, which is like the new thing they've been doing the past few years, where they don't even let him get to victory lane. Like, they do the burnout on track, and as soon as they get out of the car, there's a reporter there to meet him. They asked him, like, you know, your phone's going to be ringing quite a lot now. And he just straight out said, I'm going to do one more year in Australia, and I'd love to come back up here after that.
There you go.
So
there you go.
2025, I think, is how I would read that.
Yeah.
If it's one more year in Australia.
Correct.
So
correct.
If anyone's looking to fill a seat for, if anyone's looking to fill a seat for 2025, you want to look down the road, there's that guy in Australia who seems to be pretty good.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's fun. You love to see the expansion of a sport, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So very cool. Good on him. All right. I'm done. Soliloquy over. Right. Just need to get that out of the way. Andrew.
Soliloquy.
Take it away.
No, we were responding. So twin cars, twin car garage is what we're doing here. So let's see. How do you guys want to do this? Should I just go down my whole list? Yeah, let's do the whole list, then next, and then next, and then we'll talk about what we've got sitting in our garages at the end, huh?
Sounds like a plan.
Sounds good.
All right. So I will say that for my list, what I tried to do is think of the other person first, right?
Selflessness.
No, I'm serious. I try to think of their needs, because for this exercise, you want to give the other person something that they'll like, but also something that you'll enjoy. So I'll start off with the easy one, which is for my wife, Meg. And so I tried to pick things that were realistic, applicable to the way they would live their actual lives, but also cool and not something they would ever consider buying for themselves. And while I was driving here the other day, I think it was before Tristan and Jessica were here, I don't remember, just driving around town, something caught my eye. And I just locked onto it because I'd never, ever seen this color done this boldly before. It's a color called Copper Crest. And it's a coppery, bronzy, hyper metallic. The whole car was this color. And I'm so entranced by it. And you'll never guess. It's the Lexus RX 500H. Hybrid SUV.
Really?
All copper, and think of how awesome two of those in the garage would look, just glowing. Here, I'll just drop the, I'll put the link here.
I can actually, I found it. Yes.
Yes, I found it.
The F Sport Performance.
Oh, wow.
In Copper Crest.
The color is nuts. It's bonkers.
That's so cool.
I don't even know how you maintain this paint or whatever it is, but that's glorious. And, you know, she has a hybrid SUV now that fits. This is a hybrid SUV. The only difference is this has 360 horsepower. That seems fine. Upgrade in performance, luxury. But more importantly, all that copper. This thing is copper. And I don't care about the performance. This is 100% color-based pick. It's awesome. It's such a good color.
Is it going to turn green after a while?
Wouldn't that be great?
Verde gris.
Oh, I would be so into that if it would get a patina. It's not going to, but oh.
This looks really, really slick.
It looks so good, and I don't even know why. It's just such a nice color.
I like what you did there, though, because it's not like a big SUV.
No, no, it's just their RAV4, I think.
Yeah, I think that's what it is.
The rest of their lineup. It's either or the RAV4, the slightly bigger one, or that might be like the kind of the bespoke Lexus model where they stretch a little bit. I don't remember. Anyways. Oh, no, because the GX is the big one. Okay. Anyways, that's the pick for my wife, purely based on the color and also based on the color.
This is really good.
Do you want to go around?
Oh, I was going to do my... Oh, we can do that. Or I was going to do my whole list, and then we can go that way. Whatever you want
Lexus,
to do.
Lexus RX 500H F-Sport used, $74,500.
It's also colossally expensive. If I didn't mention that, because it's a Lexus, it's like...
starting at 63.
Yes, sir. I mean, that's the thing about Lexus that we talk about all
give
the
me
time.
Two.
Even 20. If you love it, why would you pay that much for it?
Yeah, it's a consistent issue with them right now.
I mean, you're in like Merc territory. You're in, I mean, you know, take your pick.
I mean, their black color is called caviar.
Price tag yourself for the market segment you want, not the market segment you have.
Yeah, clearly. Anyway, so should Tristan, you want to go next? Or yeah, you
can
go.
Yeah, you go next. Sure, I'm ready.
All right, go.
I treated this kind of like we've discussed gifts in the past where like obviously I took the other person into account, but it wasn't like, you know, what do I get them for a daily driver or whatever? Like it's more off the wall than that. Like what would they never buy for themselves, but they've always wanted? Mm-hmm. And Andrew, your message to us was very inspiring. So they don't have to be new cars or realistic picks, you know, have a blast.
Yeah.
So I went with the definitely not new. I am also picking for my wife. And you guys are going to laugh at this, but she has wanted one for a very long time. And there's absolutely no reason to buy one. In fact, you shouldn't. but I could definitely see gifting one. And I would also probably enjoy driving this just for the giggles. A 1999 Pontiac.
Oh, no.
Sunfire GT.
Oh!
What?
Convertible.
Come on.
I thought you were going to say Aztec. I was sure you were going to say Aztec.
No. No. The the Pontiac Sunfire GT, based on the Cavalier platform.
Hell yeah,
of notable quality. But... You know, like you said, just go nuts. Doesn't even have to be realistic. Like, if you can, let's say I could find a pair of these in that classic Sunfire yellow convertible. Like, my dad bought a bright cherry red with a white vinyl top Volkswagen Rabbit when I was a kid.
Sure.
And we drove around in that for like a whole summer. It had no air conditioning, it was just a convertible, and it was like a manual Volkswagen Rabbit convertible. And obviously you can tell it had an effect on me. I remember that, like, it was one car one summer that he bought it, drove it around for fun, and then sold it again. And like, that would be this car. Like, she's always wanted one, a little fun convertible for the summer, and you got a matching set in the driveway. They don't even have to be the same color. The Sunflare had some really good colors.
You definitely have to get that yellow. That's super classic. You have to get the yellow, and then, I don't know, red was good. They had a good blue, for like a sparkly blue for a hot minute. I remember that.
Yep.
The I was looking, trying to see if I could find...
There was a green, the, like a forest green.
There was one that, when last time I looked at this thing, there was weirdly white, always a good Pontiac color, as we've discussed in the past. And then there was like this, yes, here it is. It's like a light blue. So like a light blue, nearly teal, and then a yellow one. And that would just be a pair of absolutely 90s glorious little fun front wheel drive convertibles in the driveway.
Yeah. That's a surprising pick, but having not seen this car in quite some time. Just another reminder that the wrong brand died.
Yes.
Never could have been killed. They kept Buick. Idiots.
That's a really good point. That's a really good point.
What are they doing? Ah.
Brutal. So much stuff you could even if you needed to, you know, tweak the lineup within Pontiac.
Right.
Great. Do it. Like there can be Pontiac SUVs, you know, it's not that big a deal.
Well, they already had the Vibe, whatever. Oh, it's just enraging to this day.
Enraging to this very day. So yes, it is. That is my choice for Jessica, because like I said, she would never buy one for herself. So it would definitely be something to give as a fun gift. Not as a like, well, I gotta buy this for, you know, practical reasons.
Gotta buy this.
You know, for practical reasons.
Oh no. How about you, Nick?
So I'll stick with the significant others for round one here, and I will be buying for my lovely bride. And I think I have a combination of kind of both your approaches. We have the kind of out in left field, just go nuts, and then we have, for others, we have something more practical. This one is a little bit more practical, not in terms of the trim level that I'm going to present here. That's definitely the wish list. But the model, for sure, this is actually one that I do know that both Claire and myself are both very interested in, as we look to potentially move to an SUV within the next year. Again, not this trim level, but this model. I would buy for her the Volkswagen Atlas R line.
Oh, interesting.
I'm going to try to pronounce this name. Tourmaline blue.
Tourmaline. Yes.
Tourmaline blue.
Something like that.
Just a very eye-popping, vibrant blue, and the image is not loading onto the chat, so I will have to copy the link and do the same thing. But we've actually test drove these. Again, not the R line, the more one of the lower trim levels. We love the way it drives. Getting it used is going to be a little bit more manageable within reach for us. Instead of having my 97 Blazer and a Focus that she can't drive, like, let's just get rid of them both, free up some space in the driveway to go along with the cart trailer and get something like this. But that Tourmaline blue, she loves white cars.
Sure.
Like, for most of her life, she's only ever owned white cars. And it's just kind of coincidence that my ST happened to be white, and now the Blazer is white. Our entire garage is white. My trailer is white.
Nailed it.
So she's like, if we don't do white, something blue would be really cool. So I would get her this Atlas R in tourmaline. How was it, Tristan? Say it again for me.
Tourmaline.
Tourmaline blue.
Nice. Well, and then, so because it's two, what would you get? The white then? You get the blue and the white, and then you'd be done.
Well, I mean, if I have my choice, I would go black on black on black on black on black. Right.
Well, no, because there is a R-Line Black Edition where everything's blacked out.
Yep, all black, grill, black all black wheels. Everything.
All black everything.
It's kind of sick, actually. That looks cool. Yeah, I've never seen that before. That's cool.
So.
Nice. Well, on the back of Tristan's announcement, I think I'm going to have to give him his pick next. This is a weird one. I struggled a bit with the cars that I would give both of you because I wanted to pick weird things that related to things that you also liked.
Okay.
So we'll see how we did here. A weird pick for Tristan. Not fully color based, but heavy influence here. What about a 1999 Mercedes-Benz SLK 230 compressor in sunburst yellow? How about two of those to go with your Sunfire in the driveway? Now
it would match. Now
it would match. So you'd have the two yellow convertibles in the driveway. You'd have the front wheel drive American. You have the rear wheel drive turbo German car. And I have been obsessed with this car ever since I first drove it in Need for Speed way back in the 90s. I just think it's the And as time has gone on and the SL has gotten flabbier and larger and yeah, it's still really fast. Cool. I don't care. This is about the size of a thumbtack and it's only it's like 189 horsepower, something like 200 horsepower there or thereabouts. But imagine how that feels in this car. I think I'd still want to drive one to this day.
I approve. I would definitely drive one of those. What year was it?
I picked 99 just to sort of, you know. It was in that era.
I'm trying to see. There was... Yeah, because that was actually the same underlying... Like 80% of the parts were the same with that and the early 2000s Crossfire.
Oh my god, you're right! It's destined to be.
So
wow, you're right. That's really cool.
Oh shit, that's right. Daimler Chrysler.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh man. That's,
just like the early 300s, the Magnums, the early Chargers were all E-Class underpinnings at the time.
Mm-hmm.
Previous
several
generation E-Class.
Ago at this point.
Yeah. I would love that.
I picked the 99 because I actually prefer the pre-facelift look to the post-facelift look, and they definitely made the yellow in 99.
I love that choice.
Awesome. And also compressor over the AMG because fucking compressor in that Mercedes block letters is so awesome on the back.
Compressor
with a K. Yes. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Of course, as you would.
It's so great.
Awesome car. What do you got, Tristan?
All right, I'm gonna return the favor. So I'm gonna do my one for Andrew first. I'm actually going to, like you said, go nuts. I'm going to go so nuts as to not even really real. I'm going to pretend that they made two of these and we've stolen them and they are an actual production car.
Okay, I love it.
It will be the Hyundai Vision 74.
Ooh, oh, wow. Wow, what a choice. Oh,
now,
man.
They only come in one color, so they'll be the same.
No worry about that. Oh, but, that's a sick pick.
It's like in the total go nuts department, I was just like, who cares if I was...
That car's so badass.
Like, fake comic book levels of rich and could just tell Hyundai, like, I'm buying this, whatever the price is, and you're going to make another one for my friend. Like, yes.
Oh, it's so cool.
I love the headlights.
I'd never drive it. I would just park it in the center of my home.
On a turntable.
I'd park it in my garage in a Lexan cube with the lights on all the time.
None of that. In the helm.
I want people to see it. From my driveway with the lights on all the time.
Oh, that is so great. That's an amazing pick. I love it. Yes.
I know you. I heard you guys chuckle when I was like, maybe not even real, but I mean, I had to go there.
So when are you dropping it off?
Oh, are we making commitments now? I should have.
Uh-oh. Wait a minute.
Should have tempered my expectations a little bit.
Wow. I mean, that is such a great pick. What a pull.
That's awesome. Well, since you guys bought for one another and it's weird being a third wheel in that gift exchange, I'm just going to go with my dad for now. And this one is probably not going to surprise anybody. I'm going to get matching C7 Corvettes for my dad and myself, but I'm going to go with the aftermarket version. I'm going to get the one from Callaway. So
wow.
They soup them up and they take essentially what is, I guess, quote unquote, a base model that they go off of is the Z06. But they turn out what's called the SC757, which is a supercharged 757 horsepower V8.
Yes, that I do remember that about the C7. The Z06 was actually the one you want if you wanted to modify. And also, side note here, the Callaway C7 is an actual car, but you're not talking about that. You're talking about a Callaway modified
Corvette.
Corvette C7.
Which is the SC757.
Correct.
And it's 777 foot-pounds of torque.
Oh,
at 4,500 RPM. 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds.
Imagine the growl.
The thing rips, right? So knowing my dad's love of all things Corvette up until the mid-engine, similar to mine, that is definitely the choice for my dad. That's my other family member. And I will circle back around to both you hosts, award-winning hosts, in the next round of this game.
I'm just laughing at the slogan at the top of their handout. Your C7 deserves a second chance. Wait.
What?
Just in case it wasn't good the first time?
Why?
I don't know why they... Okay. Kind of rude. All right, let's see here. Well, I'll go with Nick next. And Nick's was really hard because I had something really silly and outlandish in mind. Something we actually saw at the museum, Tristan. Because I was
okay.
Okay. If this guy wants a Corvette, then maybe we should just give him a Corvette. But and it was not that Pike's Peak hill climb car with the
double Pike, wings. Corvette.
Yeah, with a wing, like a rear wing on the front. Ridiculous. Anyways. So I'll talk about that one after, and then I'll explain why I made my eventual pick, because I think this one's definitely unexpected. It relates to something Nick likes. It relates to the current period of his life that he's in, his position Ooh. In the world, and something that he needs to make it to the next level. And it's also a rare piece of car culture that will bring him acclaim at the next Cars and Coffee. So I think the perfect gift for Nick and myself would be a 2003 BMW Z8, as seen in the Bond films, lionized by all car culture. And it's like three times the size of a Z4, which I did not know until I finally saw one. I was like, oh my God, that thing's massive. Well, because you know, the Z4 is a little one. Anyways. So that's what I would pick.
The James Bond Z8.
Uh-huh. The James Bond Z8. I think it has like a total of four minutes of screen time in that movie.
Yeah, right.
But it is a Bond car. It is a BMW. Listen, we both know you need a BMW to advance your professional career at this point. That's all you're missing. So yep. This would satisfy that requirement. you would be the star of every Road America BMW drive event. You would be a king.
This is actually really cool. I enjoy this. I will enjoy this immensely. It is. I will say, this car is ugly as sin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Real ugly. That's not what it's about.
But so that's, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's not what it's about.
No, not it's at all.
It's about the fact that you know I'm a Bond fanatic, mm-hmm. and it would just, yeah, it's unique. No one else is going to have it.
Yeah, I've seen, you know what?
Oh, this is the one that got cut in half by the big saw blade.
Exactly. Yes, yes. I've coming never from the seen chopper. One of these in person. That's how rather I've seen a picture of one in real life ever. I've never seen one.
Oh yeah, this would be great. Would we get the decked out Bond version with, like, you know, smoke screen and the oil slicks and the machine absolutely. Guns that come out the oh fuck yeah.
100%. Yeah. We'd have to. That would be a requirement, clearly.
Yeah.
But just a side note, something to look at and you can tell me what you think of it. From the Museum of American Speed, they have a car there that I had never seen before. It's a fully functional car. It drives. It steers somehow. You'll see based on the interior picture. It is a customized 64 Corvette. So customized, so coach built. It's no longer a Chevy. It is, in fact, called the Starbird Cosmoray. And it has an amazing name. And it looks absolutely... I just put a link in chat. It looks absolutely incredible. It looks like every futuristic 1960s rendering of the world. It has a double bubble cockpit. It has an angular bent down nose. That big fat rear tires, the metalwork, the steering wheel is like these two handles that you somehow Tesla just got wet thinking about it. It's like this weird, like, I don't know, do you bend them? Do you turn it? But it actually works. It actually drives. It is a real car. And it's monumental. It is eye popping. It's mouth watering. It's glorious. Every inch of this thing is just pure beauty.
This is really, really nice. The car, it's got like it's like a Jetsons bubble.
Mm-hmm. 100%.
I love that.
So do I. This is if the Jetsons had a car, this is what George Jetson would drive.
1,000%. It's beautiful. So I went with the BMW because I just figured that one was a little funnier. But this, I think. This deserves more credit, like more public acknowledgement. It's so great. And, you know, in the tradition, in the Tristan tradition, this would be the other thing.
That's a really good one too. That's not going to be in the garage. That'll be in the outbuilding behind the house.
Right. Custom built for the Starbird. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Very, very cool. What about you, Tristan?
All right, I'll hop on the gifting Nick train.
Oh, you guys are the
well, we're best. Here.
Yeah.
Well, it's in the station, as it were. So I originally, and I'm glad I didn't, because I was originally like, well, I mean, duh, DB5.
Which also would be accepted.
But I think that Andrew pulled a more interesting. Or off the wall, less obvious Bond car for you. However, I went with another semi-obvious choice, but not a perfectly obvious choice. Andrew, part of it was actually inspired by a conversation we had, and you'll see why. Well, we were actually at the Museum of American Speed. I have found for sale several originally campaigned by Corvette Racing C6R chassis that are available for sale. And they would be given the prime Corvette Racing CompuWare yellow and black livery. And we'd have a matching pair. Numbers 4 and 5 were what I found available for sale. And we'd have matching pairs of those. With which we would campaign in open class autocross.
Autocross.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, but literally, like, all these ads are like, you can use it for SCCA or whatever else. Like, man, that is like way overkill.
You can also use it to kill a fly.
Yeah. But yes, they're like actual, you know, IMSA, ALMS, the, you know, actual used by Corvette Racing C6R chassis. There are still several of them out there rolling. And I'd grab a couple and refurbish them to the original livery that we saw them in at Road America. And that would be my gift to you.
I have said plenty of times on this podcast that I work with assholes. Today, I am taking that back. Very, very thoughtful gifts for both of you.
Thoughtful gentlemen.
What thoughtful gentlemen?
Award-winning, multi-award-winning, thoughtful co-hosts. That's great. Oh, wow. So, thank you both very, very much. To start gifting to hosts, I will choose Andrew first. And when I was thinking about what cars to gift you guys, there was a lot of different directions I could take this. There's really obvious ones. There was ones that I could, instead of like a thoughtful gift, I could just do one to piss you off.
Uh-huh. Yep.
You know, for a long while today, I was thinking, oh, this is easy for Andrew. Just get the Bullet Edition Mustang. And then, but thankfully, I decided to go a little bit nicer because you guys did the same thing. So this one, Andrew, is a deep pull. And I'm hoping I remembered it correctly. This is one of those where it's like, oh, how did he know? Or you remembered. I'm taking this from, there was a screensaver or a background image, I remember, on your laptop or mm-hmm. your tablet or something like that of an interior.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe I got it right when I say I am getting for you a Spyker C8 aileron.
Yes, you remembered. It's still it is on my tablet. It's still the background on my tablet. The Spyker C8.
Well done.
Oh my god. Oh, yeah. It's gorgeous. You know what's funny about this page? This page has been down for a long time. I just looked it up. The C8 aileron page is back up, which is absolutely bizarre. And this interior is
just just out of this world.
Yeah. Oh. It's so gorgeous. Every smallest nanometer of this interior is beautiful and magnificent to behold. The car on the outside, it's kind of ugly. I don't care. I don't have to look at that. I just have to look at the interior. It's
the
so
interior.
Great.
It's legitimately an airplane cockpit.
Oh yeah.
Oh, so much quilted leather.
With quilted leather.
It's amazing.
Also, performance not to shake a stick at. Audi V8, 187 mile an hour top speed, 400 horsepower at 7,000 RPM.
Yeah.
Not for nothing.
Not for there's nothing.
There's a Spyker dealer in Cleveland.
Wow. Wow.
You don't say.
That might be the only. That might be the only dealer in the country.
No, there's five or six according to this. That's what I'm saying. This Spyker page. What's so funny about Spyker is that they are a seemingly real company. They released.
They had
a
Formula One team for a while.
They had They had a ton of stuff. So they're saying that the production of the aileron ended in 2017, which is whatever. Who cares? But I wonder if they're still around. You know, I wonder if it's like their last news is from 2020.
Yeah, this is
we'll see.
The finest Hulshof leather and aluminum for authenticity and substance. The use of plastic is reduced to almost zero.
Yeah. Mm. It's just, you want to be in that.
Flick the red cover on the ignition switch to evoke the spirit of starting an aeroplane as they ride it.
And it's all machined aluminum.
Yes, it is.
So great. I love that. I couldn't be, I could not be happier.
Well, you're welcome, man.
Thank you so much. I guess it's me again, huh? So I have a
last round.
Yeah. Yes, I have the last one here. And I was trying to think of something other than like a Firebird or a truck for my dad. And it's like, well, I feel like I've talked about that enough. So I decided to set myself the far more difficult task of picking a car for my mom.
Ah, yes. Actually, we've discussed how difficult that is.
It's basically impossible. She does need a new car. She needs something that's all-wheel drive. She needs something that's just the right height. So the new SUV she doesn't like because they're too high. She doesn't like cars because they're too low. And she, at this point, doesn't really need to drive that far, right? She moved down here with us. She maybe puts 20 miles on in a week. Maybe, if that. It's probably closer to 20 miles every 2 weeks because she just goes to the library, the grocery store, maybe to the park. Like, and they're all within, this isn't a very big city, they're all within 4 miles, essentially, in a radius. So that's great. Okay. Well, what kind of car? She probably needs an SUV to get the ride height lift. She does have a golden retriever, so, you know, it'd be nice to be able to throw something in the back or have some kind of lift gate scenario in the back. But it doesn't need to be huge, right? It doesn't need to be massive. And it would be nice to upgrade to something in a hybrid or electric. And then it hit me. I've seen an electric car around quite a bit that I initially thought was dumb and still think is kind of stupid. But every time I see it, I like the look of it more and more and more and more. I'm like, wait a second. I think I know exactly what to do. We'll upgrade my mom to an electric vehicle. She'll never buy a drop of gas again in her life. She'll probably never need to fully charge this thing again. It's got a nice big battery, a couple hundred miles. I think the perfect thing would be to get a match set of Ford Mustang Mach-E GTs. We'll get a blue, we'll get a red. She can take her pick. It's going to be the right height. I know that because it's, you know, it's high, but it's not that high. It's all-wheel drive. She can plug it in the garage. It's over for gas. It'd be the perfect car for her. And I actually really like it too.
I've seen them on the street. I've, you know, more often now. I just drove, I think it was yesterday. No, not yesterday. Last week going to work. It looks really good on the road.
Yeah. It looks way better in person than it does in print.
Well, when
now,
we saw it,
that said,
when
it's
we saw it in
the
person,
dumbest name.
Yes. It's the Mache, as we discussed before.
Horrible name.
When we saw it in person on the turntable at the Chicago Auto Show, remember auto shows? We're like, eh. But when it's on the road in motion, it does look really, really good.
Looks awesome. Totally.
Yeah. That's a good pick. That is, man, so thoughtful with the, she doesn't drive that far anyway, so she doesn't have to worry about like running out of battery life. Like,
nope.
Look at you.
It would literally, I actually kind of feel bad that I can't make this happen because it would be perfect. I mean, she, you know, whisper quiet ride, a nice Magna Ride suspension. It's got everything, like everything that she would ever possibly need. Sorry, Mom.
Sorry, Mom.
Sorry that can never be a reality.
Well, I mean, imagine
maybe not
how
never.
It would feel to be able to just go do even one of these, just like here, boom.
I might be able to buy the Sunfire.
Yeah, that's actually within the mouth. That is correct.
You might be able to buy 2 Sunfires.
If I can find that many.
If you can find that many running Sunfires in the world.
Yeah.
That's great.
All right. Well, I will stick with the parental gifting. I am going to go with my dad. My mom's pretty straightforward and she can buy what she wants. So, you know, I don't think there's a huge need for gifting there. Again, sorry, Mom, but you know what you want. Just go buy that S3. Instead, I will be purchasing for my dad the following. I sent it in the link in the oh. chat. The
oh,
TTRS Heritage Edition.
My. Wait, you can't get the blue leather? Blue leather's great.
You can get the blue leather in white. What? So it oh, comes oh, in okay, it comes in the following colors. It comes oh. in let's see. Yeah, it comes in alpine oh. alpine white with ocean blue leather and uh-huh. diamond silver stitching. Helios mm. blue metallic diamond with silver with diamond silver leather and ocean blue stitch. Stone gray metallic with crimson red leather and jet gray stitch. Tizian red? I don't know. with Havana brown leather and jet gray stitch. And the one that I would be purchasing for him,
yeah.
mm-hmm. malachite green with cognac brown leather and black stitching.
Yeah, that's yeah,
without yeah. a doubt.
Absolutely.
Take the green one.
For myself, it's a toss-up between the simply delicious crimson red leather and gray so stitching good. On the metallic TT, or that blue. That blue leather with the alpine white out exterior is mm-hmm. really cool. White oh, cars, yeah, but that blue leather, I love it.
Well, really and you not, can, yeah. much like Andrew and his spiker, you don't look at the outside very much. So when you're in the inside in the blue leather, that's all you need. Everyone else yeah. has to look at the outside.
That's right. Yeah, that's everyone else's problem.
I do. Exactly. So you do look at the you don't necessarily look at the looks of the car, but you see the hood, so you do see the color.
That's yeah. That's
so,
true.
I spent a lot of time looking at that color. So
that green is so great.
It's yeah. real good. Real good.
real good.
Looks like
green.
It's a little lighter than that sort of like emerald. That
yeah.
Was
it's
on
not
his,
emerald. It's
A8.
Not British Racing green. Mm-mm. It's malachite green.
Oh, it's like forest green and candy apple green had a baby.
Yeah. It's real good. And the close second is the blue exterior.
Mm-hmm.
So,
oh, that's a great car. What's the story with this? It's just a custom package for the TTR.
It is the as the title says. Bad news, everyone. That's it's the last TT.
Damn.
Discontinuing. The line, so.
Oh, that's beautiful.
That's the bummer part of it. Yeah. They're just discontinuing the TT, but they really sent it off in style.
Yeah, that's great. That's a good pick.
Yeah, that green is amazing. Mm. Holy shit, that's good. So, my last car is. Tristan, this one's for you. It's also for me. This is one that I know you're going to enjoy, but I was actually thinking I should get you a TTRS. But I'm like, I really don't like the TT. So
don't worry, I got one for myself.
And then you just said that. I'm like, great, I'm off the hook. So what I am going to be gifting you, it stays in the same family, though. But again, it's one that I will also thoroughly enjoy in Nardo Gray, the Audi
yes.
RS6 Avant.
Hey,
said. Yep, I'm getting the same color. We are absolute twinsying. We are twinning.
I'm surprised you didn't go with the all black. It looks mean in black.
It does look mean in black, but there's something special about an Audi in that matte Nardo Gray. Absolutely. My Callaway that I got for my dad, like my version can be black on black on black for that.
There you go.
VW Atlas that I'm twinning with my wife. I can, you know, she can keep the blue and I'll get black on black. I have my black cars.
There you go. All right. I'll take it.
So
I'll take it for you. I'm enthusiastically taking it for me. That sounds like I didn't enjoy the pick. No, that's not the case. I would, yeah, but I will accept your answer as to why you also get a gray one.
Oh, and Tristan, just so you know, there is a dealership in West Allis that has one.
Ooh.
And there's a $13,000 price drop on it right now.
What? A price drop?
I can't hear these things, Nick. You can't tell me these things.
I'm not saying it's affordable. I'm just saying there's a $13,000 price drop.
Can you afford to not buy it?
I mean, that's what the salesman would say.
Stop.
Well, listen. If you're going to get that, if you're going to get that promotion, get that director status, remember, drive for the job you want, not the job you have. That's the saying that everyone says.
Buy cars from the income you want and not the one you have.
Yes, correct. Accurate.
Buy and hope.
That's funny. Well, all right. So let's see what I ended up with here. Lexus RX 500H in Coppercrest, naturally. 99 SLK 230 compressor in sunburst yellow. BMW Z8, it comes in colors other than bond silver, but why would you even bother? Ford Mustang Mach-E, I would do a red and a blue, like I said, and then let mom pick and just take the other one. That's cool. Hyundai Vision 74, that could come in pink and I'd be perfectly happy with it. And the Spyker C8, also in any color, but it does come in purple, so I'd probably pick that. And that is a hell of a garage. I am super pleased with that.
I agree.
Yeah, you made out nice.
That is awesome.
What do you... What?
Sorry, I looked around. I heard something really weird. I don't know what's going on up there.
Well, your internet did just stop working long enough for us to start to wonder what had happened to you. But...
Oh, really? Did you hear anything I said?
Yes, but not all of
okay.
it.
Okay,
cool. But yeah, so yeah, I ended up with the compressor from you, the Sunfire that I gave to Jessica, the TTRS for my dad and myself, the C6 racing chassis for Nick and I, the
<He's bumped. laughs>
the RS6 Avant.
That's a really good. That's a good lineup too.
Not a bad haul.
Yeah.
So on my side, my garage will have.
Oh yeah, and the Hyundai for you.
Yeah, the 74. Yep.
Oh, the 74.
You got everything but a real Quattro.
Yeah, it was on the list. It, you know, but it was it moved in favor of the Heritage Edition TTRS, mm-hmm. which those colors were chosen apparently based on Ur Quattro colors. So.
Sure.
Went with that instead.
There you go. All right, so my garage starts off with the Atlas for my wife and I, our line, and then the Callaway SC757, which is essentially a modded C7 Z06 Corvette.
Give it a second chance.
Then the Spyker C8 Aileron that I'm twinning with Andrew on, the Audi RS6 Avant that I'm twinning with Tristan on, and then the awesome gifts from both of my gentlemanly, thoughtful, scholarly, well-behaved, award-winning co-hosts.
Well-heeled.
All right, that's
one being the James Bond BMW Z8. Super ugly, not doesn't matter, super unique. And then the C6R racing chassis, which probably not going to autocross. I would probably take it more to like the historic races with it.
There you go. Ooh, yeah.
Yeah,
we'd do that for sure.
Man, things we knew about as kids are now for old people.
Right?
They're historic now.
What happened?
We got old.
Word.
I don't like it.
I don't like it much at all.
I'm chill. It's fine. I love being washed. I don't have to know about anything. Oh my God. Sometimes people say things to me about things I saw on TikTok, and I'm just like, I don't care. I'm old. I don't even know.
It is definitely like when you see younger folks around the office and the stuff they're into and the stuff they're talking about. You know, even a gap of 10 years, like it's the
like,
first or second job out of college, you know, and they're talking. Mm-hmm. I'm like, wait, what? No, I want none of this. I am leaving.
Oh, it's great. Oh, I love it so much. All right. That was really fun. I enjoyed that very much.
That was a good episode. I am genuinely touched by the gifts you guys got me.
Oh, yes, yeah, that me was too. Very well thought out.
Both of you thought about it and picked things that I don't like a lot of things. So the fact that both of you remember different things
at least you
from different
it.
Periods in time that I really liked was very rewarding. Even hypothetical generosity is perfectly fine.
From my perspective, I'm very easy to please, but neither of you took that as an excuse. So yeah. I appreciate that.
Yeah, you guys are great. So are our listeners, and we'd like to hear what they would maybe gift us or gift a significant other or gift their best friend or something like that. So in order to do that, there are multiple ways to get a hold of us, specifically on social media. You can find us on Facebook. If you go to that search bar and type in Check Engine Podcast, Andrew, where can they find us on Twitter?
At Check Engine Pod. And also, actually, we haven't talked about this at all, but we should talk about this. I hear tell from the younger people in the streets that there is a new Facebook Twitter clone.
Yes, called Threads.
Okay, so I
can only say it that way.
Threads.
I think we should take the opportunity. We'll talk about this more. We'll look at getting a Threads as well to get back in the more commonly used realm.
I will go as far as say, don't worry about it. We already got one.
Oh shit! Because well, there you go.
Because if you have an Instagram account, you have a Threads account. So, oh, you can follow us on Threads at Check Engine Pod. The same place you can follow us on Instagram is also at Check Engine Pod. It will primarily probably be cross-posted content, but you will be able to find us on both. If you react on one, we will get back to you. But don't expect a lot of original Threads content at first.
My plan would be to start using that because I think I personally prediction here. I think Facebook or Meta or whatever they're called now is about to eat Twitter alive with this.
Yeah. Well, there you go. I will. You know, it's the same account as our Instagram account. Download the app and go nuts. I will cross post anything you post to Instagram and anything I post on Instagram. I'll cross post to the Threads and we'll have a functioning Threads in no time, just like Daddy Zuck planned.
That's right. And also, obviously, Mastodon as well at Check Engine Podcast at Mastodon.social.
So be sure to like, follow, share, post, DM, reach out how and when you can. You can ask us questions to answer on air. Let us know what you like, what you dislike, what you agree with, what you disagree with. You can give us episode topic ideas. You can tell us what car you would want to buy two of to keep for yourself and to give to someone else important in your life. Any of that kind of stuff. Not only do we want you to listen and interact, but we want you to leave us a review. You can do that, preferably a good one. You can do that on whatever platform you're listening to us on. Just find that review button and, 5 stars, maybe 4, something like that would be acceptable. We'd greatly appreciate that. And or hit that subscribe button. It's free. You'll get notified of any new content that we put out for your listening pleasure. If you're really into what we're doing and would like to support us monetarily, you have 3 options for that now. 3. You can go to patreon.com/checkenginepodcast or hit the support button on our homepage at Spotify for Podcasters. Or you can go peruse cepswagshop.com, our new merch store that has been up for about a month now. Go find yourself a cell phone case or a backpack or a coffee mug or a t-shirt or soccer slides.
Or a sticker.
Or a sticker. Whatever you want, it's on there. If it's not on there, tell us. We'll put it on there. cepswagshop.com. Thank you in advance. Any shout outs, guys, before we get out of here?
Well, I mean, I'll just thank you two fine gentlemen for your generosity. And like I said, even in this case, hypothetical generosity is more than enough. I couldn't be happier. And it does feel a little bit bad that I can't just go out and buy my mom a $60,000 car. That would be fun. But I think this was really fun. So thank the both of you.
If people start buying some shit from the swag shop, you might be able to.
That's right. Let's go. Fund my mom's Ford Mustang.
Hashtag fund Hermesh.
Fundermesh.
Thunder. It's just the worst name of all time. It's so bad. Whatever.
Well, I would like to thank Andrew, his wonderful wife, Meg, and their adorable child for hosting us on the 4th of July weekend, allowing us to probably more than a little bit mess with your schedule and your regularly scheduled programming to show us the wonders of the dairy store, Runza, and the museum. It's much, much appreciated and a good way to finally get out of the house. We've got some stuff coming, but we've been a little short on vacations this year, and it was good to see you in person for the first time in a while.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for coming down. It was a truly awesome time. It was at one point, because of the fireworks, we came down to the basement here to play some board games and stuff. And I was like, wait, actually, no, that's the point of this whole like house and this space. We had a TV down there. We played the Wii. It was like a real house. It was a really unique experience. It was
literal.
Awesome. Thank you guys.
Almost pass out laughing playing board games.
That was awesome. It was a yes. Fabulous time. Thank you so much for coming.
Well, I think I would just like to shout out Ford for giving us endless content opportunities with the Mesh.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that name.
Positive and negative.
Yeah, positive and negative. Whether we're talking about how great. Yeah, how great the vehicle is versus
how
terrible
the
name
is.
Yeah, that's just a winner for podcasters everywhere. So thank you, Mr. Farley, and the rest of the folks at Ford. And as always, thank you, listeners, for your continued support. We love hearing from you. We love recording this for you. And we cannot wait to speak to you again. Until then, take care.